Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, all 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Kenny Pickett has arrived, or so Troy Aikman thinks. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. Coach Saturday's new clock manager. And with me, as always, is AJ. Trent Dilfer is a QB whisperer. Marchese.
Oh, baby. UAB is about to be a QB factory.
Today, we're talking all the best and worst NFL rookies from week 12 of the NFL season. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of 7 Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. Rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. The funk didn't get out of Birmingham.
That's a very Alabama delivery of Birmingham.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we get into the crux of the show, the meat of the show, the NFL talk, we got to talk UAB hiring Trent Dilfer.
Do we have to talk about it?
I don't know. Somehow a guy, now we've got two ESPN analysts who had only coached high school making the jump to NFL interim head coach, and now Group of Five head coach.
I mean, the Dilfer hire probably makes more sense than Jeff Saturday, at least. But
well, at least Trent Dilfer is like, his team's playing in the state championship this Thursday, Lipscomb Academy. This was another gross, like gross isn't just like what? I don't know, AJ. Someone brought up the point that like Cadillac Williams would have done a great job here.
Oh man, Cadillac would have been a great hire.
Yeah, but instead, let's give the head coaching gig to another white guy with no college coaching experience. I think, like, honestly, the most important aspect of Trent Dilfer coming to UAB is the fact that, like, he's been involved in high school coaching, not just at Lipscomb Academy, but with the Elite 11, so he's got connections.
Yep.
I think that's like a one positive.
I think that's the selling point, wasn't it?
I don't know. And like, obviously, his staff is going to be extremely important. And apparently, he's planning to hire a bunch of very experienced coaches around him with Power Five experience. I don't know. It just feels like such a weird move for UAB, a program that had been really atop the Conference USA for so long under Bill Clark, who built that program up, deserves a statue, won 2 Conference USA titles, went 49-26 and I think 6 seasons, retired before the season because of his back. Mm-hmm. Brian Vincent takes over as interim. They managed to go 6-6. It wasn't a great year. They lost 3 straight before beating Louisiana Tech this past week. But the players wrote a letter to the president asking for Brian Vincent to be the head coach. The president, because the president wouldn't give them the time to talk to them. And then the day that they, like, tweeted out the letter, they hired Trent Dilfer as the head coach. I just, college football's undefeated.
It was so goddamn out of nowhere. What are the odds, if any, if it's above zero, say it, that Dilfer can land an Elite 11 quarterback to UAB?
I'd say it's above zero because, but the Elite 11 isn't necessarily the top 11 recruited quarterbacks in the country. Right? Like, I don't, sometimes a 3-star sneaks in there. I don't know.
So like he could get 11 one year.
Truly, like, I don't, I'll give it 5%.
Can't wait to talk about this one on the coaching roundup in a couple months. Month and a half, whatever it is.
If Trent Dilfer can be head coach at UAB, Deion Sanders can be head coach at Auburn, in my opinion. But instead, they hired Hugh Freeze. So, couple more things. I didn't have a list for you on the Marcus Arroyo or Tim Lester replacements. Oh, yesterday.
We need them now, baby. Yes.
So UNLV fired Marcus Arroyo. Some of the names popping up are former TCU head coach Gary Patterson.
That one shocked me.
Kentucky linebacker coach Mike Stoops, USC defensive back coach Dante Williams, who I think's the best one there, but apparently they want head coaching experience.
Why?
I don't know. UNLV is like impossible to turn around. Yeah. If Tony Sanchez and Marcus Arroyo couldn't do it, no one can. and Western Michigan's replacements for Tim Lester, Sharon Moore, whose name's just everywhere.
Great hire. It would
be. The Michigan OC / O-line coach. Michigan special teams coordinator, Jay Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati defensive coordinator, Mike Tressel.
Oh, bloodlines, baby.
Bloodlines. Apparently, Brian Hartline interviewed for the Cincinnati head coaching job.
Give him the job.
Don't. He's not ready.
He's ready.
Couple quick NFL draft declarations. West Virginia receiver Bryce Ford Wheaton, Oklahoma tackle Anton Harrison, Penn State corner Joey Porter Jr.
Joey Porter Jr. is going to be one of the first corners off the board, first round pick. Great move. Bryce Ford Wheaton kind of maybe trying to capitalize on the murkiness of the wide receiver group. Guy that's, you know, was on the freaks list, you know, big, explosive dude. He could be a riser. That's a smart move. And then hit me on Anton Harrison.
I think Anton Harrison coming into the year was a guy who could have been a top five tackle in this class. I don't think it shook out that way necessarily, but definitely a top 10 tackle.
Yep.
Day two type of tackle in a solid class.
Solid class. Olu, though, going back to school.
Yeah. A couple Senior Bowl acceptances. Oklahoma running back Eric Gray, Purdue receiver Charlie Jones, Oklahoma tackle Wanye Morris, South Carolina defensive tackle Zach Pickens, LSU edge rusher Ali Gay, and Missouri edge rusher Isaiah McGuire.
Charlie Jones is going to be that guy that everyone falls in love with at the Senior Bowl that's, you know, throwing all this garbage off his release game and just cooking dudes.
I love Eric Gray. I'm super excited that he's going to be there. I think he is a top five type of talent at running back in a deep class. And he had the season that we thought he might have last year at Oklahoma. Ran for 1,300 plus really competent pass catcher, really explosive, shifty runner. I'm excited to see him in Mobile.
Probably just didn't get the attention because Oklahoma was so bad.
Whoa, come on. What's wrong with going 6-6 and making a bowl, brother?
Yeah.
A couple East-West Shrine games. Cincinnati tight end Leonard Taylor, Wake Forest tight end Blake Whitehard, Washington guard Henry Bienvalu, Arkansas center Ricky Stromberg, West Virginia defensive tackle Dante Stills, and Minnesota corner Terrell Smith.
Ricky Stromberg, that's a good get for Galco and company. Like, I feel like he's going to be like a solid day three type of center.
Yeah, I feel like you could say similarly about Dante Stills on the defensive side. Like a scheme versatile defensive lineman who kind of play the five, play the three. Very productive for 5 years at West Virginia.
That's it?
And I feel like every time I watch West Virginia this year, not a good team. Neil Brown's going to be back there. But
congrats, Neil.
He always making hustle plays.
He is. I feel like we watched him for so long.
Yep.
Go.
Now, into the meat. Look how efficient we are today after a long episode yesterday.
Loving it.
It's just because I'm so excited to talk about Kenny Pickett and, our rookie QB rundown.
Oh, baby.
AJ, you got to get a taste of Kenny.
I got the Pickett experience.
20 of 28 for 174 yards, 32 rushing, and don't forget that two-point conversion against the Colts on Monday Night Football.
Sick. If you sum up, turn your screen off and listen to this game, you thought Pickett went, you know, 30 of 35 for 345, four touchdowns, listen to Buck and Aikman. Then you look at the stats. This guy didn't even throw a touchdown pass. That being said, it was his best game, right? It was his best game.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I didn't look at the numbers until after the game.
Yeah, me neither.
I was like, I was certain he threw for more than that.
I know, and no touchdowns. Didn't turn the ball over. But this was his, just on eye test.
It was his best game.
It was his best game, yeah. Timing looked good. I haven't watched too much Pickett, of course, this year. With a couple looks, and, you know, just kind of seeing Steelers games. I feel like that was a big improvement for him, just hitting his back foot. And like you said, he's left a lot of clean pockets to scramble. But just, you know, hitting back foot, timing looked good. Accuracy hit and miss. There's a lot of low balls. But, hey, there was a couple drops for Pickens in there. And, you know, he also had that ridiculous catch. I'm sure you got him somewhere later. It was okay. But it's still, like, to me, looking like a guy that's going to be the 16th best quarterback at his absolute ceiling. And that's saying, you know, a lot to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note that he, like, didn't really push the ball down the field.
He didn't.
He completed two passes beyond 10 yards. Obviously, that George Pickens one down the sideline.
It was all Pickens.
I mean, I appreciate the fact that, and I've said this before, especially if you've watched this offense before Pickett getting in, he does give Pickens a chance downfield, which wasn't happening prior to Pickett coming in.
He's better than Trubisky. I'm not arguing.
Yeah. Like, he gave him a chance. It was a solid back shoulder throw. Obviously, better grab than throw from George Pickens. Then he had, a 14-yard completion over the middle, I think, to Freiermuth. He's competent. That, I think, this is, it's similar to Mac Jones last year.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't, especially in recent weeks, he hasn't been turning the ball over. Doesn't really put it in conflict. But he also doesn't make a ton of splash plays. He looks like a very competent backup quarterback. And you see throws that do get you excited, like the George Pickens one. That was the 14-yarder. The where he bought time moving out of the pocket, throwing kind of almost back across the field to George Pickens over the middle, mm-hmm. who made a great play. It was a lower ball, but he still made a great play. You see throws like that, and that gets you excited. Like the two-pointer, too, like making that play out of structure. And him and Pickens clearly do have a really good chemistry together.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think him and Deontay Johnson have a great chemistry. And
no.
Deontay Johnson tends to make a mistake or two, but Deontay Johnson's like open all the time. I think the next step for Kenny Pickett, as we've seen a string of solid performances, is getting other people more consistently involved, making more plays beyond 10 yards. And when things break down, showing that ability out of structure that we saw in the two-pointer, it happened less in this game, but he has had a tendency this season to, when things get murky, he uses his athleticism to move, but he kind of takes his eyes off the receivers and is generally looking to run because he's Kenny Vick. And I think he really needs to kind of use that mobility to improve his play as a passer out of structure.
I will say bringing up Mac Jones is interesting because I think, you know, if Pickett didn't have such a disastrous play caller, you know, had a good offensive line in front of him, I know he's got some weapons, I think he could have had a Mac Jones-esque rookie season, which was extremely overrated. And but
I think it's important to note, too, like, the last couple of weeks have been, since he stopped turning the ball over, have been Mac Jones-esque. Like, his last three games, he hasn't thrown an interception. He's only thrown one touchdown. He's completed a solid amount of his passes. Like, he's been okay. And I think that's kind of similar to the Mac Jones experience. And, it doesn't help that the offensive line's been shaky. It was better in this game. And it doesn't help that Matt Canada's a terrible play caller.
Exactly.
There's also little things you want to see him do better, too. Like, on that Yannick Ngakoue free rush play, like, he should have thrown the hot route, and instead he just kind of, like, turtled and took them into field goal range.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. The couple times I've gotten to watch him since you've been so, you know, you just got to see Pickett every week. I don't see a franchise quarterback. I feel like the only people that do are kind of like these older school football heads who, you know, like, you know, just want their quarterback to be a distributor type of quarterbacks. I don't know. I know you don't either, but.
Are you with me in seeing, like, best case, he becomes an Andy Dalton-esque quarterback if everything else around him is really talented?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And I do think he's, at worst, a good backup. Like, I don't think he's not Zach Wilson, nor he's going to be, you know, who the hell knows where he's going to be so shortly, right? But he's not, you know, Justin Fields, where the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, I think it's, you just haven't seen a lot of, like, even with Justin Fields' struggles before he kind of turned it on, every once in a while you'd see him make a throw or make a run where it's like, damn, like, he's just got the physical dose. I don't think you get that with Kenny Pickett.
Has Kenny had any of those throws this year?
That George Pickens back shoulder.
But, like, really, like, I mean, of course, you're watching him every week, but I haven't seen anything that's really like, this is a high-level football
player. One of his best throws was in the Bengals game last week where George Pickens did drop it. But, no, you're right. He's more of a, like, it's very Mac Jones-esque.
Yeah, it is. At least he's faster than Mac Jones.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. Let's get to your guy, Skylar Thompson.
Oh, my guy, Skylar Thompson, baby. Wasn't much. He came in for mop-up duty. 1 for 5, 8 yards. It was 3rd and 4, converted it to the sticks. Beautiful ball.
I got him at 6 yards.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to sneak in a couple extra yards. I'm sorry. Took a sack. Fumbled the snap. Just pitching the ball into the ground. I still came away thinking he was better than Kyle Allen. So, 5-star performance, Skylar Thompson. It's funny how many times he's coming into games this year. Of all of these quarterbacks,
For real. We can't even sniff Desmond Ridder.
I've never seen Desmond Ridder throw a football, but I'm getting Skylar weekly, baby.
Okay, rookies of the week time. I thought there was a couple, especially if you include Thanksgiving game. Both for offensive and defensive, there was a bunch of kind of prime-timey rookie of the week worthy guys. I tried to steer away from that with my offensive rookie of the week, though. And I went with Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson.
Oh, yeah, baby. I love that.
Because he's wearing the big hat.
The big hat bump for Brian. I love it. He knows a guy, Rob.
What?
He knows a guy.
I know. If you want, I looked into it. Like, you can actually order the hats. You can actually have them. They'll put any logo you want on it.
I think that we actually should do that for our Dynasty Fantasy Football Trophy.
All right.
We're looking into that.
But this was by far, I think, Brian Robinson's best game of his rookie year. He looked like he did in the preseason before he got shot. And obviously, I think he should... There should be a decision made that allows him to win Comeback Player of the Year.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean,
I thought that before this performance, but now he's like actually getting back to looking like himself. And he ran for 105 yards, averaged 5.8 a carry, and 2 grabs for 20 yards and a touchdown against the Falcons, including on that touchdown, trucking a man into the shadow realm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love it. It's like, obviously, everyone's going to root for this guy. I mean, honestly, it almost feels like people aren't giving him enough credit for how good he's been given everything. Like, but no, he's been
solid. I think he'll get it now because this was such a strong game.
He definitely hasn't had that big flashy game, but like, I think I mentioned him last week. He's just like, you know, when they want him to do the short yard stuff, he's getting it done.
I think it's also important to note, like, I thought he just looked a little more explosive in this game, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of the previous games, it'd be a lot of physical running up the middle, so not a ton of chunk yardage or anything. But in this one, he did a good job of, instead of just kind of crashing into the line and fighting for yards, bouncing it, bouncing it and breaking arm tackles and picking up seven opposed to four. And it felt like a lot of the times there was one run in the fourth quarter, for example, where it was kind of clogged at the line. He had a slight hesitation as he pressed the line, bounced it outside, breaks an arm tackle, gets north-south, bounces off a tackler, bounces off another tackler, and turns what should have been like a five-yard run into a first down. And there was a lot of just those types of runs where he was a solid running back would pick up five and he was picking up seven. And that's important, especially in a close game like this that came down to the last play, really, where Kendall Fuller intercepted Marcus Mariota in the end zone.
Definitely. And I think that's what you need out of a back that you took in the top 100, right? Like, you know, nothing wrong with getting a guy that can just, you know, get the dirty yards in, you know, the fifth round or whatever. But taking a guy top 100, they've got to start making these, you know, and I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that's what you got to see, and it's promising.
Yeah, it just felt like he kept finding the cutback lanes, right? Like, mm-hmm. he had a better spatial sense of himself. He knew rather than, again, just fighting for every yard, he knew he could bounce things, and he has that kind of athleticism to him to make those starting running back level plays.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear.
Yeah, who you got for Rookie of the Week?
I got to go with Garrett Wilson. Five catches, 95 yards, two TDs. In the pouring rain for most of the game against the Bears, finally, Zach Wilson sitting his ass on the bench. Mike White was in. He got Garrett Wilson going right away. Right off the hop. Had, like, a really nice grab on a slant just in traffic. Tough catch again in the rain. Hauled it in. This is all the first drive. Then just hit a first down off a bubble screen, you know, got some yak. Nothing explosive or anything, but picked it up. And then capped the drive with his first touchdown. Just, like, toasted the DB. It was, like, it might have been a push-off, but it actually got called for a DPI. But, yeah, just physical off the break. Just got held, discarded him, just shoved him. And then got wide open for a touchdown. That was great. And that was – I loved it. That was just like, oh, yeah, here comes a game for Garrett Wilson. And, no, it wasn't, like, a monster performance, but – he you know, they tried to get him going a couple reverse. It didn't look too great. Tried to kind of like make a one handed catch, and he took a huge hit. Was down for half a second there. The rain was just pouring. It was a tough play, and then he had the other touchdown where it just a really nice release out of the slot. Just a nasty cut to get separation. The ball went through a defender's hands. He kept his concentration. It was kind of behind him. Caught it. Then, like, you know, turn and then just hit a guy with a dead leg. And after that, you knew he was gone. And there was another 30 or 40 yards after that where just exploded to finish. And it was just beautiful. And this, like, yeah, this is why you got Gary Wilson. And this is why he's looking like your wide receiver one. And then his other grab, just like a nice little sliding grab to kind of cap it off. So just that explosive play was like just that wow moment. But like a strong game all around. And God, it's so... It's so encouraging to see this happen in Zach Wilson's first benching game. Like, Mike White came in and immediately started going to him. And there's no reason why this isn't going to continue down the stretch and maybe into the playoffs for the Jets with Garrett Wilson.
We love White, Mike. Garrett Wilson, it feels like he'd be maybe even leading Offensive Rookie of the Year race right now if he had more consistent quarterback play. I mean, he's had kind of three massive games this year, three mm-hmm. or four. I guess, no, we'll say four. I think four times we've mentioned him for Offensive Rookie of the Week. Week two, where he had 102 yards and two touchdowns with, I think, Joe Flacco. His quarterback.
Yep.
Then he had a 115-yard game against the Patriots. That was Zach Wilson. The game against the Bills where he was just, like, open every time. He had 92 yards, but he should have way more. And then he has this game with the two touchdowns. And just, like, he looks like... Him and Olave just look like Pro Bowl receivers already.
Definitely. The Buckeye bump.
We need this. We need to give it.
I'm giving it. Don't worry, buddy.
I've decided we're no longer a championship contending program, but we just flex the amount of NFL stars we have.
Smart. So many programs do that, so might as well.
Yeah, Michigan doesn't have any
other than Josh Uche.
Yep. Josh Uche.
He's had a good season.
Speaking of pass rushers.
There you go.
Defensive Rookie of the Week. We Do you have Kayvon Thibodeau?
I got Kayvon Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau, who has had his flashes, now has the best pass rusher front seven performance among rookies this year.
Oh, but Rob, he didn't have a sack.
It's kind of, you know what, I was just thinking about this just before we started recording. It kind of reminds me of Khalil Mack's rookie year, where like he didn't put up massive sack numbers, but he was just so disruptive.
You've been thinking a lot about Khalil Mack. That's back-to-back references.
I know.
It was like, you know, ultimate outplayed, like just like the plain old box score game. You know, look at the box score, one tackle. But really, I don't know, what did PFF give him? Like 9 pressures, 5 QB hits. He was just a monster. Definitely the best game from any probably front seven guy, I think, any rookie this year.
Looked quite good against the run, too. Had a couple, like, where he'd take on the tight end one-on-one and kind of bullshit up in the backfield.
He fucking walked Schultz right back into Zeke. Didn't get the TFL for himself, but someone else came and finished him up. It was awesome.
And it there was a lot of, sure, the athleticism, which is what initially gets you so excited about him. But there was also, I thought, he just used his hands so well.
He did. Yeah, he definitely did.
And that, I think, was kind of the difference in this game. And he did a really good job, too, where maybe he wasn't going to get to the quarterback, and he knew that. But he really hustled his ass off. Like, there was one play where he took on the tight end, and he just kind of rerouted himself and still got a last-second hit on Dak. Like, he had to have known he wasn't going to get the sack. But it's those things add up. And he was beating Tyler Smith sometimes, too. So a lot of taking on tight end, but like he walked Tyler Smith back one time. He beat him with a rip and dip one time. On the first Dak interception, he walked Tyler Smith back into Dak's lap. Like, I don't know. I thought this was such a star type of performance from Kayvon Thibodeau. And obviously it's overshadowed by two facts. He didn't finish with a sack. And they ended up just kind of getting walked by the Cowboys in the second half, but holy moly, that's a dude.
Yeah, no, this is like he's gonna be the best pass rusher, pure pass rusher from this group. You know, performance. You touched on the athleticism, but like, yeah, he flashed that. You know, like that freaky burst to close on the passer that we saw so many times at Oregon. You saw that against Dallas, and like you said, like he. He did such a good job of like getting clean hits on Dak, you know, and like finishing through the whistle, but not drawing any stupid roughing the passer calls, and like hitting Dak, you know, square and clean. And those hits add up, and you know, in a game. I know it didn't win them the game, but it was a great performance. Had another fun play I thought too, where he just like, I think he beat the right tackle, and then just like Zeke came over to help, and or it might have been the tight end, and then Zeke came over to help. He just ran right through Zeke like he wasn't even there. This was the most big dog performance of any of these defensive linemen rookie class this year.
Big time. It was awesome, and I'm excited to see him build on that.
Me too.
Getting to worst rookie this week, I didn't have a blatant neither corner getting picked on or lineman getting his butt kicked. I went with Alec Pierce.
Okay.
Who was a non-factor against the Steelers in a game where they just needed absolutely anything. He had a drop. He had a miscommunication with Matt Ryan on his two targets. 70% of snaps and just very little going on. And if you look at his last four games, in those games he's seen 14 targets, just 3 catches for 51 yards, all while playing 65 to 71% of the snaps. And now, obviously, situation is everything, and they haven't had a great situation with Sam Ellinger, Matt Ryan, and Coach Saturday. But I just feel like it's a bit of a fall from grace from a guy who we saw big flashes of early and had a lot of hype early on. He's also had 2 drops in that time. I feel kind of bad picking on him, but I just thought it was just such a bland game.
Yeah, he's really cooled off. And like you said, the hype was building. And yeah, again, the situation does matter so much. But no, I think that's think that's fair. Yeah, there wasn't. I didn't have a blatant rookie, a poor rookie performance either. So I stuck with the Thanksgiving night game, and with no clear choice, I gave it to Cole Strange, who, you know, didn't give up any sacks, but there was a decent amount of hurries and got beat a couple times. And it was like kind of just like highlighted when the Vikings went their old NASCAR package with all their pass rushers on the field, and you know, in the obvious passing downs, and it's a lot of Za'Darius Smith lining up over him, and he was just giving him hell, and that's a hell of a matchup for Strange. But there was one where, like, you know, they just stunted, you know, they ran the old stunt, and Smith just went right through the gap. It was just like he was really struggling with his quickness. Like, you just saw it multiple times, a couple of times where Smith was just, you know, flushing Mac into, like, you know, either like just sliding and taking maybe a yard or two and not like a, you know, not a sack, but basically a sack, or just into other guys for sacks. So Smith could have easily had a couple sacks in this one. That being said, I thought he was struggling with that, and that's a hell of a matchup. And, like, really, I probably wouldn't, you know, dunk on him if it wasn't for, like, him being a first round pick or anything. But I had some nice plays too. I thought he was okay in the run. Had a really nice block to spring a Stevenson screen, but just was a tough matchup. Just tough matchup, and on Thanksgiving night, he was the dinner, I guess, the dinner for the Vikings.
Hope you feel good about that one.
I don't. I just didn't know how to end that.
Moving to primetime star, I went with Christian Watson, who continues his reign of scoring touchdowns. Now has 6 touchdown catches in his last 3 games, 200-yard performances, went for 110 to score against Philly. Kind of instantly felt like he had a good connection with Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's promising.
And on the touchdown, just catching it over to the middle and immediately destroying every angle every player on the Philly defense had on him.
Yeah.
I think we've just, like, the ways he's been scoring, it's been so exciting because it's just, like, he is so big and so athletic, and maybe he is still raw as a route runner. Maybe he does have a drop here or there, but we're seeing that his physical skill set just makes him such a highlight reel, can turn anything into a touchdown type of player.
I put Watson for my looks like a hit this week. I mean, you know, it took some time. Like, early on, he looked like a really big miss, but, you know, 3 straight games of wow performances is enough to say this is going to be a hit. It's not, and again, this is not like, you know, I had him 44, he went 34, not claiming to be my son or anything stupid like that. Wait, but
where'd you have him as?
44. You had him higher, I think.
I had him like 28.
Yeah, see, bigger hit for you. I'm not claiming him, I'm just giving him credit.
I had him above the London man and Dawson.
I had him 1 spot behind Dawson and, like, I don't know, less than 10 behind Watson, behind London. And yeah, like you said, you know, there's the drops, but any, like you know, little raw, and, you know, Rodgers always gives his little half smirk, like, oh, you're not supposed to do that, kid, or the fuck stupid shit Rodgers says. But he's been dynamic as fuck. He's been dynamic as hell. And I think they still, like, need to do a better job of getting him involved. Like, it's weird to me that it took, like, Romeo Doubs getting hurt for Watson. And, you know, it might have been more to that, but for Watson really to get his chance again after that one drop week one. You know what I mean? Like, the Packers are shit. Like, the Packers are not doing a good job. But, look, he's explosive as hell. He's showing up huge. And I think he, like, not just, you know, him developing, which obviously is going to make him a better player, but I think down the stretch they can do more to get him, like, really going. Like, it's not complicated stuff. And it's not like they've done a bad job. I just don't think they're doing it enough.
That's fair. Who's your primetime star?
Jelani Woods, who is one of your guys.
Perfect. That's my looks like a hit.
I kind of figured that was going to happen.
Tight end one, baby.
Yeah. 8 catches, 98 yards. His true breakout game, you got to say. I think, like, Matty Ice just really seemed to trust him. Was just, like, putting it on right off out of his breaks, which you love to see, you know, for him. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was cool, too, that, like, so he had 9 targets, 8 catches. The only non-catch was his first target. It was a drop. And I thought it was cool that Matt Ryan just kept going back to him. I don't know if you see that with an Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Good pull, yeah.
But it felt like, Wood just kind of took over with a mismatch, both down the seam and on the outside, with obviously 6'7", with freakish athleticism. He had the 24-yarder down the middle. He picked up a first down. in the third quarter that kind of helped get the Colts rolling and led to them taking the lead.
Yeah.
It was a lot of big plays from Jelani from Virginia.
Yeah, you saw that, like, on that 24-yard, you're like, him just getting it through the middle and, like, that galloping yak that he can do. Once he gets in that open space, it's like, this guy this big shouldn't be moving this fast. And then, yeah, just the little stuff, too. I thought, like, catching the ball and, like, dragging defenders, not like, you know, not like some 10-yard to the end zone type of thing, but he wasn't going down easy. He was bowling over some guys. And then, like, doing some tough contested catch work, too.
Yeah.
It was very, very complete performance for Woods.
I thought, too, on that Colts, the Colts' second last drive, he had a big first down conversion where it was just like the safety had good positioning, but Jelani Woods is just so damn big that he just kind of framed him out, boxed him out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he brings to the table, is he is more athletic than linebackers and just so much bigger than DBs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he's going to be a damn good tight end.
On a more disheartening note, some underwhelming performances. We talked up Kayvon Thibodeau, and now I'd like just to mention Aiden Hutchinson and Trevon Walker.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
Hutchinson was like non-existent against the Bills. Especially when James Houston came in and got 2 sacks and 5 snaps.
I was going to put him somewhere else, yeah.
But yeah, Aiden Hutchinson just, it feels like he had a string of flashy games, but he just really needs to develop that pass rush plan still. And at the same time, I know he's a lockdown defensive back, given the opportunity to drop into coverage, but I don't know, just the inconsistencies kind of with his pass rush down to down is been a little disheartening. Because at the same time, I feel that way about Trevon Walker, but I think it was more expected with Trevon Walker.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to get like, obviously, I watched Trevon Walker this week, but we both watch Aiden Hutchinson.
No, I agree. He was pretty invisible, and a lot of weeks it's like, I think he had one hit, and it was like they just left him unblocked.
Yeah.
And a lot of weeks it was like just if he's not making like an effort play or a hustle play, or you know, showing up in the passing game, he just isn't there. I agree. There's no pass rush plan from him right now, and for a guy that was labeled more pro ready than anything, it definitely is disheartening.
It's also interesting. Like, one of his go to moves has been the spin, and it's worked a couple times. I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago against the Bears, like, he busted out the spin a couple times, and it was really working for him. But, like, that's been almost been his go-to move, and we've just got to see him unlock those hands a little more, because it's been a lot of just bull and spin, which is more, I think, what you expect that from Trevon Walker, who he's been – it's interesting. Like, the Jaguars deploy him in a bunch of different ways, and he's a very solid run defender. I don't think he's quite as impactful against the run as we would have hoped.
Yeah.
It's also weird when you're playing the Ravens, just given what that offense is. But I thought it was just a very quiet game.
Two guys that like really need that Kayvon Thibodeau level performance from this week, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sticking in the state of Michigan, and I'm sticking with Walker, but I'm going with Kenneth Walker, Seattle's running back, who did have 2 touchdown runs, but that was about it. He's becoming very boomer bust. I know that's not all on him. And the offensive line has not been very good run blocking the last couple of weeks, but at some point, you know, he's got to start taking the easy yardage. And like his touchdown, you know, was a nice cutback, and he kept just working to the outside, and you just knew he was going to get there, and you know, got to the pylon, finished. Like, you just knew he was going to score once he made that cut, and like, that's his explosive ability. And you know, his other touchdown just like kept his feet in a pile. Like, it was good running up the middle. And just kept pushing the pile for a touchdown. And, like, those two things that he's shown is maybe why he is the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year with, like, 9 rushing touchdowns right now. But those were, like, his only 2 good runs on the day.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, too, because you obviously had the Seahawks and you had the Texans game, and Damian Pierce had another not-so-productive day. At this point, because I think maybe 3 weeks ago, if you asked us, those two and Olave would have been our top 3 for for Rookie of the Year, but we're starting to see some of these receivers really make some moves here with obviously Christian Watson, Garrett Wilson. Who would you be giving Rookie of the Year to right now?
Who do I think is going to win, or who would I give it to?
Who would you give it to?
Honestly, probably Chris Olave.
I think so too, but I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 weeks we're both saying Garrett Wilson if White Mike keeps it up.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And honestly, if I were to bet on it, I think Kenneth Walker finishes it out just because of the touchdowns.
And, the touchdowns.
Yeah. But yeah, to go back to Walker, like he had a minus 13 yard rush. Like he just got hit in the backfield, spun out of it, and there's nowhere to go. That was just a bad look. Him and Geno kind of fucked up an exchange, and I think it was more on Walker. Just he's had a couple of those like rookie mistakes in the like just unsure of where to go. Not too many, but there's been a couple more than you know you want him to. So yeah, two touchdowns a game, but not overly promising. And if I may double down here, I threw Abe Lucas as well, who's had a really, really, really good year, but just had his hands full of Max Crosby.
Max, do you think if Max Crosby was on a better team, he'd be getting a lot of defensive player of the year buzz?
He'd be a superstar. I know he's like, I'm not saying he's, I mean, he's kind of underrated. I know a lot of people respect him big time, but he'd be a superstar on if he was on like, a good football team.
He does so much for that team.
He's so good. I mean, he had two huge, huge, huge sacks. Both came on Lucas. One was right after the overturned DK Metcalf catch at the end, you know, where it took 45 minutes to get the call in. And it just like Max Crosby's like, okay, let's just finish him here. And that forced Seattle to punt. And that forced Seattle to, you know, not do anything at the end of the game. And apparently Lucas was supposed to get help there on a chip. And then he never got it. So it just looked, you know, he just never got out there on Crosby. And then another one at the end to force Seattle to punt in overtime. And it was just, you know, that's a hell of a matchup. It's tough, but two huge spots where, you know, two sacks that won the Raiders the game, essentially. Or, you know, at least put the ball back in MVP Josh Jacobs' hands. But, yeah, I just those two Seahawks and just in such a close game, making a couple critical mistakes.
Obviously, we both already voiced our looks like a hit. Jelani Woods, Christian Watson, two guys we both really liked.
Yep.
Going to looks like a miss. I think this guy is going to be really good, and I wish I was in on him. And that is Titans rookie corner Trey Avery.
Yeah, he's been good.
He's interesting because he's originally going to Ohio State, was deemed ineligible, ended up at Toledo, redshirted, ended up at Rutgers.
Where all the great DBs end up.
So, yes, he's played at my three favorite schools.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, he was fantastic against the Bengals. Two different times he showed off his click and close ability. I think both were against Trenton Irwin.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. The Stanford God. And he is just very quick. Very good clean feet and very does a very good job disrupting the catch point. I think you mentioned him
last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
So he's starting to really string some games together now. And like he's not playing a ton, but when he's out there, he's been very competent.
Yes.
And I think he deserves to play more. The Titans have a weird corner situation. They have a lot of a weird mix of young corners. And like Roger McCree's like playing all the snaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought Avery did a great job. Like he was only out there for like 18 snaps, gets targeted 7 times. So Joe Burrow's going after him. Only gives up 2 for 23, breaks up 2 passes. Like I thought he did a really great job.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like you said, like get him more playing time on a team that's had a permanently weird cornerback situation. Since Cortland Finnegan left, their cornerback situation has been weird.
Trey Avery's the next Cortland.
Good comp. I got a corner, too, who was probably my runner-up for Defensive Rookie of the Week. The guy I was low on, regretfully low, Martin Emerson, the Browns corner, who was targeted 11 times on Sunday. Gave up just 3 for 19. None of those went for first downs. Four PBUs. Like I said, it would have been my runner-up for Defensive Rookie of the Week. It was a hell of a performance. But I wanted to put him here because I'm dumb. He basically took away Mike Evans. Had a couple plays where he was following him into the slot. He was just playing him
super good.
It has been very good. He was just super physical on him. Mike Evans only had two catches on 10 targets. Just locked down Mike Evans. And I know it's not quite the same. It's still Mike Evans. Maybe got away with a couple calls, but it was physical as hell. I love to see that for rookie corner going up against, you know, an all pro type of dude. Love that. Nearly had a pick. He was covering Cameron Braid out of the slot, out of the bunch. Just jumped it, but didn't pull it in. It was also like a really, really good coverage. Had a PBU on a Breshad Perriman speed out, just like physical through the catch point. Hell of a performance. Like, I think up there with cornerback performances this year. Just didn't pull in the, you know, like Thibodeau, didn't pull in a ball, but just a hell of a game. If I could throw one more, if I may, because you gave me that silence for a second. Rashad White. I think I had him here before the bye, but it just continued. Like, it wasn't a special performance or anything against the Browns. But I was low on him, and I didn't think he could lead a backfield. But he's doing it, and he's doing it well. All over 100 yards total, 64 on the ground. Caught 9 balls, but 45 yards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird number. But, yeah, no, just productive, and I think that's what they expected out of him. And I never thought it was going to come, and it is. He's looking really good. Had a couple bigger runs, too, at the start of the game. And, yeah, just a good performance, and I was too low.
You love to hear it. You know what I'm going to do this week, AJ?
What's that, Rob?
Every week from now on, I'm gonna start one of the rookies we talk about positively on this show.
Just in start. Fantasy. Okay, I like it. Do that.
I'm gonna start Jelani Woods this week. What do you think?
That's a good call. I don't know who they're playing, but I like it.
Okay. All right, done. Needs to step it up. I mentioned Roger McCreary a second ago. He is playing like he is the Titans' corner one. He's the corner one on the likely AFC South champs. But don't count Coach Saturday out yet. He played every snap against the Bengals. He didn't have a bad game, but it's just like if he is your number one corner and you're going to be at home in a playoff game, you're really going to need him to elevate his game. And he doesn't really get the chance to take his time with that. He saw 8 targets against the Bengals, gave up 66 yards and a touchdown on 4 catches, most of which came against T. Higgins. He also did a really good job on I think it was a 3rd down. He picked up Hayden Hurst on a drag route and broke up the pass. But it's just like I always fear when you got a young corner like that who's like instantly has to be your number one.
He's not been bad at all this year, I feel like. He's had some really good games, but
T. Higgins just, like, on the touchdown, T. Higgins just remember McCreary has really short arms, right? T. Higgins is a really long receiver.
It's a tough matchup.
Higgins did a really good job in these contested catch scenarios. Did a really good job kind of using his body to shield McCreary away. The touchdown was a nice back shoulder from Burrow where Higgins and McCreary both extended arms on each other, and Higgins did a really good job kind of turning him away.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just thought he's going to need to step it up. And same game, Cam Taylor-Britt, like, he is playing so much. He is playing so much. He gave up 73 yards on 4 catches to a Titans team that wasn't passing the ball that well. He's played over 90% of the snaps in each of the last 4 games. He is basically had to be Chido Awuzie for them since he went down. And that's a guy who like really wasn't playing before week 7. And he's kind of struggled in every all 4 of the games he's kind of given up big plays. When targeted, he's giving up 127.3 QB rating this year.
He's the one that got mossed by Treylon too, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
He did force the fumble on the Derrick Henry run, though.
Oh, see? Cam Taylor's.
Which Treylon recovered for a touchdown.
The GOAT.
One more if I may.
Oh, yeah, you're calling guys out this week.
Jamari Salyer had a bit of a come-down performance. Gave up 2 early sacks. the J.J. Watt and Cameron Thomas, who couldn't even tell the difference between those two, and had a false start. It was just a bit of an up-and-down game from him.
Okay, I give it to a guy who, just one player, I'm not mean like Rob, who's like really turned on the last few weeks. He's been good, he's been making plays, he made plays in this game. I give it to Quay Walker, who did have 11 tackles, did have a really good fumble recovery and a nice return.
Yeah, he was outside of that, though.
Sorry? Outside of that, yeah. Outside of that, that Packers D was just getting ruined in the run game. And again, it wasn't all on him, but he missed a lot of tackles, or at least a decent amount. And that's not a great look. I know he stacked up 11, but I think only four were solo. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him. If this Packers defense is going to just keep getting gashed, they need him to step up. And, you know, again, not all on him. Other players need to step up too, but he had a place in his arms that he didn't finish and was just overrunning and just
after such a good game the week before.
Yeah. Like, again, he's put games together and he made a splashy play, but yeah.
Not ready to play. I went with Cardinals tight end Trey McBride.
Agreed.
Similar to Alec Pierce, but even more so because we haven't really seen him from McBride. He just has had such little impact on this game. And the Cardinals offense has really been hurting without Zach Ertz. And they need a tight end to step up. And they haven't had that with McBride, who has basically been the starter the last 3 weeks. He had one catch for 1 yard on 3 targets in this game. And I honestly, like, you would have forgot he was on the field.
I felt like that last week, too. And he had, like, 4 for 24 or something.
He was drafted almost 20 slots ahead of Jelani Woods.
I think that was one of the biggest head-scratching picks in the first 2 days of the draft, where just, like, the way they're building that roster made no sense. And that's why I think they got a clean house. And I feel like also they didn't kind
of reaching on a guy.
Reaching on a guy a bit, you know, was
at a non-important position where they already had. Like, Zach Ertz still has a lot in the tank, I think. Obviously, he's hurt now, but
yeah, but and then like I thought Trey McBride was fairly, like, you know, come in and play well, like plug and play type of dude. But him not being productive, and like this is a team that's had a track record of rookies being not good too. And like, yeah, he's got to step it up, and he definitely does. My not ready to play. I put Perrion Winfrey, who just like shown next to nothing this year.
Yeah.
Like, that looks like a miss for me. He was on 33% of the snaps this week, didn't make a tackle, didn't get into the box score, didn't feel him at all like McBride. Just not a lot going on. And, like, not to pile on here, but just to throw in, I feel like you could talk about Alex Wright in this regard, too, who's had more moments definitely than Perrion Winfrey. Did bat a ball in this game, had a good play. But just, like, a guy that, you know, you took both of these guys top 100, him 78th. He's only playing 26% of snaps. You expect more out of both of them at this point of the season, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's I think it starts to get concerning when there's your rookies are playing a lot, but having such little impact.
Yeah.
Especially after Thanksgiving, because that's when the season really starts.
Yeah, you said that last week, and we'll say it every single week.
I'll say it every week. I have to say it, okay?
Okay.
Best day three rookies, I put three. Malcolm Rodriguez had a really nice game on Thanksgiving against the Bills. He had the PBU that led to the pick. He had a big TFL in the backfield. He gave up very little in coverage, and he's just like a bullet downhill. He's just crashing into everything.
I put Malcolm Rodriguez too. Yeah, just didn't miss tackles. Just was when he like you said, when he got into contact, was so solid. Made that great tip. Like, that was a fastball from Josh Allen that he got his hands on for the PBU. And then yeah, like that play too. Like, reading the Cook screen and like just getting there and preventing the catch too. You know, he played a really strong game.
I also put Kyren Williams, who it wasn't like a big flashy game. They lost to the Chiefs, but 35 yards on the ground, 25 through the air, and just did a really good job pass blocking.
It's like exactly what you expect from Kyren Williams.
On their like one touchdown, like he picked up Brian Cook on a free blitz and put him into the ground when he jumped, and he just runs really hard, and he's consistent out of the backfield catching the football. And I just want to see him continue to play a bigger role. He played 70% of the snaps in this one.
I love that. He was both of our start the rooks last week, too. Do you have another guy?
I have Jake Ferguson because he hurdled.
He did hurdle.
My, 57 yards and hurdled. Rookie tight ends are fun. Jelani Woods, Cade Otton, Daniel Bellinger earlier in the year.
They've been so much better than they look like coming out. I think like they just got Trey really McBride. Good. The first one, I know. Like they all found, except for Trey McBride, found like perfect landing spots, you know, and like spots where they're going to get opportunities, and it's worked out really well.
Actually, AJ, while I got you and we're on the topic of rookie tight ends, I really want to pick up Jelani Woods in one of my dynasty leagues. I have Cade Otton and Daniel Bellinger. Should I cut one of them or should I cut Jermichael Hasty?
Cut Jermichael Hasty.
Okay. I'm just going to collect rookie tight ends.
Stack the rookie tight ends. Exactly. Okay. Like, done. If you asked me off the show, maybe it was a different answer, but on the show, I can't not say that.
Okay. I'll get all the rookie tight ends. Thank you.
So my best day three rookies, I did a combo of Lions defense rookies again. I gave it to Rodrigo, but also James Houston. Getting those two sacks, what'd you say, five snaps. The one right before half, that felt like pretty big, and then you know another one chasing Allen backside. So just wanted to shout out the two. The young Lions, baby. Pulling it off.
Going to best UDFA rookies, Reed Blankenship.
Good week. Good week for UDFA rookies. But
Reed Blankenship, baby. Picks off Aaron Rodgers in the red zone after getting thrown into action when C.J. Gardner-Johnson goes out. Reed Blankenship's like the man for us.
Yes. We've said his name so many times on this podcast. Oh, but yeah, like what a play.
Nothing that was in coverage.
No, six. He led the Eagles in tackles with six. Had that awesome tackle on the Aaron Jones like little screen pass. Like, whew, bullet coming downhill. Monster. And another one big for your brand, Rob. Zonovan Knight out of nowhere.
Bam?
Bam. Carrying the Jets running back group. With James Robinson, a healthy scratch, Michael Carter going down. Had 69 yards on 14 carries and another 34 in the, through the air on three catches. Big hit for Rob. Looked like North Carolina State, bam. You know, Dave gets him pro ready down there. This is nothing surprising.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Not surprising, but maybe that's another dynasty pickup because really, really good looking performance.
I'm going to pick up Bam.
I'm going to be honest. I was watching this game muted, and I was like, I wasn't sure who this was. And like Ty Johnson made a play. Okay, I remember. It's Ty Johnson. Okay. I wasn't sure who it was, and then like I finally clued in that's fucking Zonovan Knight. I'm like, this is sick. Loved it. It was a great performance.
Oh, yeah. He's available. I'm picking him up. Do I drop Cade Otton or Daniel Bellinger? Yeah.
Bellinger, because this league sounds soft, and I think you could pick him up again.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's big time.
Cade Otton could have been an underwhelming performance, but whatever.
Do you want to start just doing like setting my fantasy lineup with rookies on this show?
If we ever want this show to pop off, if we did just like a dynasty rookie thing, we'd be kings of the podcast world.
A couple more undrafted rookies. Dallas Flowers had the 89 yard kick return against the Steelers, which like gave the Colts the momentum to come back in that game and ultimately lose because Coach Saturday doesn't understand timeouts, but happens to the best of us, Coach. Also on special teams from the AFC South, Ryan Stonehouse just bombs kicks.
Stonehouse is so good.
53.8 average against the Bengals on five punts.
So there's so many like just out of nowhere rooks. Rookies who flash. I didn't go with a huge list this week. First I got to give it to Sauce. Okay. Like he gave up, he got targeted three times, give one catch. It was a big one to Chase Claypool. Big dogged him. Just got up over him, 31 yards. It was a nice. It got DPI too, but other than that, like they just stopped throwing his way. I think the league has just stopped throwing his way, and that's when you know you've arrived as a legit lockdown corner and one of the best corners in the league right now.
Do you have more?
Oh, I got more. I wasn't sure if you wanted to go back and forth. Chris Olave too. Who five catches, 62 yards for him. That's a ho hum week. Led the team in both categories again. Had a really bullshit overturn on another catch that was like, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 yards. Just, I don't know, a catch reel coming back into effect. Had a deep one go through his hands too. Like a really, really tough catch. It wasn't like one you're going to blame him on. But really could have, should have had a bigger day. But still really productive. And last one, our guy, Jack Sanborn, baby. Finished with 15 tackles. 11 of those were before half. A TFL. Just a run and hit tackling machine back there.
Speaking of linebackers we love, Chad Muma.
Oh, I like that.
Every snap for the Jaguars against the Ravens.
Finally.
Did a really good job against Lamar. Nine tackles, looked great in the run game. He did, for some reason, I don't know if you saw the huge completion to Deshaun Jackson late in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Chad Mumma was covering him. I don't know what that was about. like I know I get Deshaun Jackson's 35, but like, don't have Chad Mumma cover him.
Did he carry him okay?
He did until brutal? Like until the last like 10 yards and like
that's Deshaun not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. But yeah, Mumma looked great against the run. Did a really good job containing Lamar. Treylon Burks, who you mentioned earlier, yeah, he mossed Cam Taylor-Britt. He recovered the Derrick Henry fumble for a touchdown. I mentioned Cameron Thomas came away with a sack earlier. Showed some nice power. They need to play him and Myjai Sanders more.
They definitely do, because they've shown glimpses.
They both do. Myjai Sanders a little bit in this too. Isaiah Pacheco didn't have like a great game stats-wise, but his just instant top gear physicality is such a fun wrinkle to this Chiefs running game. And George Pickens, who did have a drop, but also had that crazy sideline grab, the grab over the middle and the two-point conversion.
Yeah, a couple. The drops are maybe a slightly concerning, but who cares when you're making those catches?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, I give you two. It was a good week for a lot of out of nowhere guys. First, one of our guys, Rome McKinley, played 22 snaps for the Dolphins. Just sealed the game with like a really easy INT, but made the play. Love to see that. And secondly, I mentioned Kate Otten. Watch out, Kate Otten. Co-Keeft is coming for your job. Had a catch for 5 yards, a touchdown. It was just like a play action, him kind of just, you know, going to the flat. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah couldn't keep up with him. Couldn't catch up. And he finished it off.
I put James Houston here. 2 sacks, 5 snaps in his first NFL game. The first kind of Deion Sanders guy to really make an impact in the NFL. That's exciting.
It is. It is.
Is Deion taking the Colorado job, AJ?
I feel like he deserves a better job than that.
I agree. I wonder if he would take the USF job. I just feel like Jackson State's a better job because of what he's done with it, though. Anyway, that's not important right now. You want to get to Start the Rook?
My Start the Rook, I didn't have like a guy that's like, you know, a big name guy. So I'm going with like a low-key guy who showed up. And start might be a stretch. But Rashid Shaheed has been so fun whenever the Saints get him the ball. He had 2 catches for 53 yards in this one and an 8-yard carry. I just want to get him more involved. Like every time he touches the ball, good things are happening for the Saints. And, like, in my point being is that this is an offense that forces the ball to Taysom Hill so much, even both in the passing. I think they threw a fade to Taysom Hill when they needed a touchdown, down 13-0. Like, what the fuck is that? Running the ball with Taysom Hill. Cool. your wide receivers outside of Chris Olave have done nothing. Kamara fumbled twice, so he's not even, like, he's not quite Alvin Kamara right now. Let's get a big dose of Rashid Shaheed and see what you got. Let's see what you got. That's it.
All right, mine might be controversial.
Uh-oh.
I know how well the Eagles are playing. Do you agree with me? They're playing well.
I'll agree. They're playing well.
I thought, I think Kazir White and TJ Edwards are an underrated linebacker duo.
They've been solid.
Yeah. I just think, as we get to it, N'Kobe Dean needs to be deployed in some type of role.
He does. He does.
I know. Philly doesn't really blitz, but I just think about how unstoppable N'Kobe Dean was as a blitzer because of his natural ability to time the snap. And behind that D line, I just think he'd be such a fun wrinkle to bring him into the fold as an off-ball blitzing linebacker. Behind that dominant defensive line,
you gotta wonder if they're saving it, you know, for the big moment. They bring Dean in and shoot him. He's played
4 defensive snaps this season. Yeah, I know TJ Edwards and Kaiser White have played a lot better than we were expecting, but I thought we'd see more of them. And I'm not saying like necessarily start him, but I would love to see him kind of find the field a little bit more. Hope they maybe get into a blowout situation soon where he gets the enter the game. I feel like he's just everybody's favorite linebacker.
They got to mix him in more. I fully agree with that. Totally agree. Like, it's not like, you know, TJ, they've been really good. But it's not like they're so good to keep this guy off the field.
Exactly. Like, they missed some tackles. TJ Edwards got out of position on A.J. Dillon's touchdown run on Sunday Night Football. I don't know. I just like to see N'Kobe Dean
play a little bit. We're biased, but agreed.
I'm also running out of start the rooks, so.
Yeah, we probably said that one 3 times, but no one cares.
No one cares. By this time tomorrow, some other former NFL Pro Bowler will be the head coach of somewhere.